This is NHL Audio, presented by XM.
Time now to bring in Bob McKenzie. He's already in New Jersey. He'll, of course, be covering the Cup Final. Bob, how are you? We appreciate your time.
Excellent. How you doing, guys?
So you mentioned you're with the Devils, checking out some practice today. Any vibe? What are you getting from the environment there right now?
Well, I actually didn't get to practice today, but I did. I'm over at the Devils practice rink now, where we're just doing our stuff for TSN, and I think it's going to be interesting because it's so hard. You know, we've got two teams that really aren't all that familiar with each other in the sense of having played each other a lot, and when they did play each other, I mean, you can kind of throw those results out the window. Marty Brodeur didn't play that much of the time, and that. So every Stanley Cup final always takes on its own personality. And until they actually drop the puck and start playing, it's a real tough sense, you know, tough to get a sense of exactly how it unfolds. I think the big storyline going in will be what it has been throughout these playoffs, and that is, can the opposition, in this case the New Jersey Devils, handle the size and strength and physical domination that the Los Angeles Kings have shown? With the exception of the last two games the Kings played against Phoenix, one win, one loss, the Kings have looked like a juggernaut that is just too good for anybody in the league. They were that way against Vancouver. They were that way against St. Louis. And they started that way against Phoenix. But the interesting thing is the last couple of outings for them, they look like a pretty normal hockey team. The goaltending, Jonathan Quick, wasn't stellar. They were breaking down defensively. They were having a tough time getting things going offensively. And they obviously still came through it. But I'm curious to see whether the Kings in the final are going to be that unbelievable team that ripped through the Western Conference, or the team that we saw in the last couple of games against Phoenix that had some issues.
Hey, Bob, what about the coincidence, if it is such a thing, or irony, that Ilya Kovalchuk ends up in a series here with the Devils and the Kings? I mean, you remember, you cover this stuff. I mean, the back and forth, the whole thing with the Kovalchuk contract, the Kings were in, they were out, they were in, they went out there, they had a meeting, he decided no. I mean, it's very interesting now that Ilya ends up with the Devils in the Cup Final, facing none other than the LA Kings.
Yeah, it really is. It's a whole circle of life thing, and it gets even better than that because you're right. 2010, Kovalchuk was the free agent. The LA Kings were interested, but we always got the sense at the time that maybe ownership and the upper management of the hierarchy of the team was maybe a little more interested than Dean Lombardi, that they weren't prepared to go to the financial lengths that the New Jersey Devils went to. And Kovalchuk, of course, the rest, as they say, his history ends up signing with the Devils. There was the cap circumvention charge that cost the Devils $3 million, a bunch of draft picks, including probably their first round pick this year. And what did LA do that summer? They went out and they signed two guys, Alex Ponikarovsky and Willie Mitchell. Well, Ponikarovsky turned out to be a bust for LA, but he now finds his way to the same New Jersey Devils. So the guy that was supposed to be the very weak consolation prize for not signing Kovalchuk, he ends up on the same team as Kovalchuk against the Kings. And Willie Mitchell, who they signed to a two-year contract that summer, is likely the guy that's going to get a lot of shutdown time against Ilya Kovalchuk. And if you want to take this whole free agent analogy, circle of life, intersecting paths one step further, everybody knows Zach Parise is an unrestricted free agent this summer. There's no doubt in my mind that the Los Angeles Kings will be one of many teams that will be making a concerted effort to try and get Parise under contract. And what better sales pitch could you have than to go to him on July 1st and say, well, we'd be in the Stanley Cup Final. If you want to play for the winning team, come on over. And if you're the New Jersey Devils, what better way is there for you to try and keep that asset in hand than to win the Stanley Cup against one of those teams that would be a frontline suitor for Zach Parise? So you got the Kovalchuk angle, and there's a bit of a Parise angle there, too.
Bob, it's interesting you're talking about the Kings potentially for Parise. You look at their payroll, huge money to Richards, Carter, Kopitar and Doughty. Where are they going to get the money potentially to go after Parise?
You can always find it. I mean, Dustin Penner's contract is up, and I'm not saying that the Kings wouldn't want to have Dustin Penner back, but they don't want him back at that money, I wouldn't think. And if given the opportunity to spend spend all of his salary plus somebody else's, they could still get into the game as far as Parise goes. Again, uncertain times with the new collective bargaining agreement and not knowing what the rules will be, but as of now, the current rules that exist, it's not difficult to hide money if you need to hide money in terms of putting players to the minors or what have you. So, as I said, again, the secondary issue, the Stanley Cup's the Stanley Cup, and that's the focus, but there's no doubt in my mind that the Kings will make a play for a guy like Parise in the summer.
Hey, you know, while we're talking about potential free agents, let me ask you about Ryan Suter, because, you know, the Rangers are just eliminated, and I'm looking at that team, and they have a heck of a group of young defensemen there, but they seem very thin as the playoffs went on in terms of back-end guys. Wouldn't it be nice to slide Ryan Suter at the top of that group and move everybody back a notch? Do the Rangers have any chance of being in the game for Ryan Suter?
Well, you know what? Again, it comes down to I'm sure they'll inquire. I'm sure that they can try to find some room. But they've also got needs up front, you know, in terms of they also seemed a little thin offensively. I mean, the big free agents that they signed each of the last two summers, Brad Richards last year, Marian Gaborik the year before, weren't able to manufacture the kind of offense that a goal-starved team like the Rangers could have used in the crucial moments against New Jersey, especially. So they're going to be looking up front. They're going to be looking on the blue line. But, yeah, you've got Girardi, you've got McDonough, you've got Stahl, you've got Delzato. That was a great foursome, and John Tortorella leaned on them and had to lean on them heavily, but there was a big drop-off after that, and Strawman's minutes went way down, and obviously whether it was Bickel or Eminger, the number six guy, is that, you know, Eminger only played like 2 or 3 minutes some games when he was in there. So, yeah, they definitely need more depth on the blue line, but that's a big piece of the puzzle right there, and I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but they'd have to do some pretty nifty maneuvering there, I think.
All right, hey Bob, thanks so much. Enjoy the early stages of the Cup final. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bob.
Love what you hear. It's never been easier to listen to the NHL on XM wherever you are. Sign up for a free 14-day trial and get exclusive audio entertainment on the go, at home or in your car. XM. Love to listen.